Good morning again. If he was at the race, he'd probably be getting wet in a little while, so. Be inside and dry, so. My brother Troy's here, so we do have the Father's Day thing. I know it's a little ways to come from San Antonio, but you're welcome to come. Welcome to be here, so. Put that on your calendar, so. It is Memorial Day. We remember those who gave everything so we could have what we have today. You know, the freedom, the country we have, and we don't have a perfect country. You know, we get frustrated with it sometimes, but I think if you tried somewhere else, we'd have a better appreciation of what we do have. You know, we've got plenty of protesters out there protesting for other countries that don't even realize the treatment they would receive if they were in that country they were protesting for. I think they would get a different opinion. You know, we forget and we don't appreciate what we have. We take for granted, you know, that it was provided by people willing to sacrifice everything to keep it. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, Christ did die for us. He died for us out of love. He died to save us from death. He died to give us eternal life with him. But men and women have died as well, and out of their love for the country, out of their love for their families and all those who live here, to protect them, to save them from possible death, and to give them an opportunity of freedom and a better life. And as we remember those and we remember Christ today, let's not squander away what they've done, what they gave up for us. Let's appreciate it and be thankful for those that chose to give so much today. We do have a baptism today, so we're going to celebrate that after a while. I want to go over a little bit about baptism today. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 22, we'll go through some different verses today. Is that me or thunder? Thunder, okay. James and John were the sons of thunder, I believe. 1 Peter 3:15 to 22 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolized baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." So Noah and his family, you know, references this situation as a baptism of sorts. And we know Noah and his family were saved through the ark, through Noah's faith. We're always saved by faith in Jesus Christ. They were in the ark when the rains began. They were in the ark. They belonged to part of it. They were sealed in the ark by the hand of God. God closed the door. They didn't close the door. God closed the door. You know, Jesus saves us as well. You know, Jesus, as they were in the ark, we're in Christ. That's what saves us. Jesus seals us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. were sealed up too. They were saved from the water. It says this water symbolizes a baptism that saves you, not from the removal of dirt from your body, but a pledge of a clear conscience towards God. And he finishes, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what saves. And a lot of people just go to Acts 2:38 and says, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you know, that's enough. But, and therefore, some people say baptism is part of the saving process. And I differ there. And I said, we have to understand there's water baptism and there's baptism of the Spirit. Water baptism is an act of obedience. It's one of the ordinances God gave us to do. Jesus did it. He didn't have to because he was perfect. But he did it as an example to us. And it says God was pleased. So it is an ordinance that God wants us to do. But it's an act done by those who have accepted Christ in their life already. It's something that's on the inside already. It's just showing visibly on the outside to us when they choose. But it's those who have already accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And among other things, all biblical examples point to Christ. You know, all the Old Testament, all the things that's done, the point is to Christ. The point is to his blood that was shed for us, his resurrection that makes a difference for us. This is just another thing that points to Christ, as the resurrection is what saves us. In Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, we see John the Baptist. It says, so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. This was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Moses baptized with a baptism of repentance. You know, it was a way to repent and to show it. But it was a sign of cleansing that was going to come later. You know, it didn't fully cleanse. It was a baptism of repentance. It's kind of like the animal sacrifices. The animal sacrifices was done to cover our sins. But again, they just pointed to what was coming that would do it. A one-time sacrifice that was coming that would sacrifice once for all. This baptism is showing a cleansing is coming. But it's going to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit that's going to change the person. In Acts 10:44-47, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So I want you to notice the timeline. You know, the Holy Spirit didn't come after baptism. The Holy Spirit was there first. You know, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the acceptance of Christ should make us then want to be baptized, to share it with others. It's a testimony we have. You know, Peter was speaking and the Holy Spirit was poured out on those who heard the message and believed. Not just anyone, but Gentiles. So they recognized it was something different. But Peter recognized they had the Holy Spirit in them. He could tell. They were changed and they desired to be baptized in water. And it's a symbol of their union with Christ. It's a testimony. So water baptism came after the baptism of the Spirit. There are people that totally believe in regenerative baptism, that you're not saved until that baptism occurs in water. But I believe that baptism occurs when you're baptized by the Spirit. You belong to Jesus. You're a child of God at that point. But water baptism is important. It's an ordinance God gave us, but it's more about that believer wanting to show everybody that I'm I believe in Christ. I'm part of him now. And I'm showing you. I'm part of my testimony, part of my ministry. I'm letting everybody know. There was a song that came out not too long ago. I really liked it. It talks about going down by the river to pray. Going to be washed by the water, rise up in amazing grace. I really love the song, but then the more I listen to it, the less I like the message. Because it was basically saying the water is what's saving you. The water is not what saves you. Jesus Christ is. Jesus saves, not the water. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11 through 17. Says, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's households have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one could say you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Again, I'm not downplaying baptism. It's important. Jesus gave us the example when he was baptized. If some get caught up in that ceremony as something that saves. Get caught up in that ritual and put more emphasis on it than they should. They give it more power than it can have. You know, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, you know, whether it's David, Jeremiah, whether it's Billy Graham or whoever, that's not what it's about. It's about a personal decision to be obedient in water baptism, to be symbolic of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Symbolic that we are a new person, that we identify with Christ, and the old of us is gone, and we are made alive in Christ. So don't be confused by baptism and let it get in the way of what Jesus is and what he did. The gospel is the most important because it saves. I think Paul, if the water baptism actually saved you, he would have done everything he could to get you in that water. He wouldn't let you go without it. He wouldn't say, I'm glad I didn't baptize anybody. Or I'm glad I didn't buy it, because it's not about me. It's not about the person doing the baptize. It's all about Jesus, your relationship with him. So again, the blood of Christ is what saves, not the water. If the water was actually that important, Paul wouldn't have let him go without it being finished. He knew the Spirit was what mattered. We are going to have an invitation hymn in just a minute. I believe after the invitation song, then they're going to play a couple of songs while Macy prepares and I go back, and we invite you to stay for that. We'll have the baptism or maybe a song and a release afterwards, but we invite you to stay if you can and give some encouragement to Macy when she comes back up front. So. In Romans 6, verses 2 through 4, it says, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Again, we have a new life in Christ when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We accept that he paid the price for our sin. We become blood-bought believers. And that's all we need to be saved. We need faith. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit inside us to change us. It's not something we can do on our own. No. And we know it's a deposit from God, guaranteeing a place in heaven with Him. That's that sealing that He gave us, that we can know He guaranteed us. And the water baptism is an act of obedience. Again, a symbolic act for identification in Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection. It's not magic water that somehow saves us. The water there is not any different than the water at your house. The water is the water. But we use it for an act of obedience to signify our identity in Christ. It's really a testimony. It's our testimony that we too have to die to our old self, and we've been clothed in Christ. We put on His righteousness. If we make it an act we have to do for salvation, then we've made Jesus' work at the cross not enough. And Jesus shedding His blood to pay the price for our sins on the cross was enough. It's all we needed. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank you for baptism, Lord. It is important, but we pray for the baptism of the Spirit in people, Lord, that come to know You, that You would just indwell them with Your holiness, Father, that You would make them a part of Your family, that You would draw them to You, that You would convict them, that You would soften hearts, that You would just bring people to the knowledge of who You are and what You did for them. And Lord, that they would come to know You in a personal way. Lord, with that, then the ordinance, Lord, we pray for that they would decide to be baptized, Lord, just to, for themselves personally, to say, I want to signify, I'm part of You, I identify with You. My old person's gone, my new person is new. And to testify, a testimony before everyone, Lord, that I'm a changed person. I've accepted Christ, He's in my life, and I'm a part of His family. And it's a testimony to everyone. We're just thankful for that, Father, that we get those choices and we get those things that we can do. And You're there in the midst. So, Lord, we thank You. We just ask You again, You would soften hearts. You would convict hearts. We just ask for those who don't know You, Lord, to have the saving knowledge of You in their life, Father. Again, thank You for Macy today and her testimony of what You've done in her life. But, Lord, we pray for anyone that doesn't know You, Lord, that they would come to know You even today and make that decision. Lord, we're just thankful we have a loving Savior who gave all. We remember all those that gave all for this country too, Lord, today. We ask Your blessing on their families and those that remain, Lord, that they fought the good fight. But Lord, we just thank You. We give You the praise and honor and glory and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Me?
If everyone will please stand and sing with me, page 3, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen.